people here as a result of their fasting. How's it been? All right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been good, isn't it? It's a bit different. You know, our time of fasting is a new experience to some people, to others who have done fasting before. I think it's been a bit of a recognition that we need to do this a bit more often. Yeah. It's a good example. Loads of people in the Bible did it, in particular Jesus, and it was key to new life, breakthrough in situations, and key to other things on many occasions. And to me, fasting brings an inner strength, to us, and increases our faith immensely. So this morning, we're just going to provide an opportunity to share very briefly, Tasha, very briefly, David Akerman, very briefly, Andrew Akerman. So, what are you laughing at? You're all with me, aren't you? You all know, you all understand. Yeah, very briefly, John Freeman. Yeah, so this is not an opportunity for a preach. This is not an opportunity to share a massive PowerPoint with 30 scriptures. We have those on other Sundays. Hello, my friend. So this morning we're going to provide an opportunity to share very briefly. So if you've seen any breakthrough in any particular situation, it'd be good to share that and encourage us. If you've learned something yourself, it might just be small and important to you, but it'd be a great encouragement to others. If God has increased your faith, you feel, you know, some of the gifts of the Spirit that we've been looking at over previous weeks, thinking, yeah, through this fasting time, I want to go for that. Father, I want to go for that. I want to expand, open up that gift and use it. You know, at Christmas time, Christmas morning, we have a gift. We don't sit there and look at the wrapping paper and think, that's nice. We want to know what's inside it, don't we? And then once we actually open it up, Phil, he got some bottles of red wine. He didn't look at the red wine and say, oh, that's lovely. He wants to look forward. He wants to use it. He wants to drink it as well. And it's the same with the gifts of the Spirit. Not only does God wants to give us what we want and what we need, he wants us to use them as well. So if there's anything in that, that would be good. Or if there's anything you feel is relevant to the church as a whole, then, you know, then be brave and step forward in that. So, just go for the main points as opposed to the finer details, just a short précis, because as Andy has said earlier, we can unpack them a little bit more at community groups and some other times. So, who's brave and would like to go first?
Good morning, beautiful humans. Right, so first of all, I had the psalm come to me, 12:1-8, but I'm only reading 1-4 today. Help the Lord, for the godly are no more. The faithful have vanished from the human race. Everyone lies to their neighbour. They flatter with their lips, but harbour deception in their hearts. May the Lord silence all flattering lips and every boastful tongue. Those who say, by our tongues we will prevail, our own lips will defend us, who is Lord over us. So then we go on to prophetic words that have come through to myself. Less focus on self, more glory of God. See, people notice your frequency. So don't let somebody's bad choice affect your destiny. And what if you're doing and what you're doing isn't working? Stop doing it. Let's start to believe the best. Let's believe in the miracles that Jesus can do and did do. He wants you to practice what you preach, integrity before God. The Lord wants you to build you up, and he wants to use you from the inside out. So be careful with your words. Words have creative power. See, your God is speaking to you. He is alive. How often do we people please rather than what God wants? See, we need to surround ourselves with truth people, not people that tear you down or keep you small. Your ministry starts at home. Do more prayer to connect at home. More Bible study. Think saved. Thinking like a saved person is the power from God. Do a thought fast. Think of all the amazing blessings we already have. Hot clean water. Heating, a warm bed, clothes, shoes. We have come so accustomed to having all these things, yet we don't actually realise how truly blessed we are. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 to 18. Life by the Spirit. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbour as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit is what contrary to the flesh, and they are in conflict with each other, so that you are not able to do whatever you want, but you are led by the Spirit and not under the law. See, this is explaining to us that by walking by the Spirit and following his guidance can help us to prevent sinful desires of the flesh. As conflict brings destruction, as believers are free from the law. So instead, we use this freedom to be a loving service led by the Spirit, which includes love, joy, and peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. See, we have God's promise, and our Bible is given God's access. By staying silent and being okay in the stillness, restores you. Silence is not empty, it is full of truth and clarity. We was not meant for living in survival mode. Let's stop saying how powerful the evil spirits are, but rather how powerful the Holy Spirit is. Yeah. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 12. Armour of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against the flesh and blood, but against the powers of the dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil, the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on your armour of God, so that one day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your grounds. See, Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness. He was full of the Holy Spirit and in a place of testing encounters and renewal. He spent this time away from family and friends, without food to seek solitude, fast and prayer. God wants us to fight the good fight of faith with power that comes from the Holy Spirit. So ask the Holy Spirit to take authority over us, to forgive and choose love always. Whatever we ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it. See, first you believe and then you receive. It's in God's timing. And pray more as individuals and in church settings. Let's lead by example, a good shepherd leading the sheep to the well. So they only remove the stone when all of the sheep had arrived. So are we all thirsty enough? And I'll finish off with a prayer. Father God, grant us forgiveness, kindness, and patience. that our family may walk together in harmony and lifting each other up, shining as an example of your love to God. You alone have the power to unite your children. May our thoughts be as one, and may our lips pray together to gain mercy. So today, in the name of Jesus, I come against the spirit of division and cast down every attempt by the enemy to divide us believers. God's people live together in unity. Amen.
Okay, I'm there apparently. Well, I guess I would have the privilege of thinking a little bit longer and praying a little bit more during these last 3 weeks than I did before. I've also had the privilege in the past of being full-time, sort of. So you, the idea is that it's not new to, if you like, seek the Lord at a special time. But the Lord did speak to me very powerfully, I think, during this time, in many ways, and some people will know something of my recent story, but I was tempted to go into self-pity. You know how easy that is. It doesn't matter how mature you are in the faith. We are human. And sometimes, well, I'm looking forward to getting rid of certain parts of my humanity in heaven when I will be renewed and recreated. The Lord spoke to me about self-pity. I was preaching in various places and realized that the Lord was talking more to me than anybody else in the congregation. Poor congregation. But yes, I felt, as most recently in some of Andy's words on his Through the Bible in a Year, but he was talking about Joseph having the opportunity, if you like, to hold his brothers accountable. Joseph, if you remember the story, had been sold into slavery, gone to a promised land, you know, by his brothers, gone to a totally foreign land, but God had a purpose for him. And there's purpose when we go through struggles. God doesn't just allow us to go through struggles for no good reason. And Joseph had that temptation where he could have fallen into self-pity. He didn't. And then he had opportunity to get his brothers back. I've got two brothers. I used to like getting them back. No, not really. But Joseph resisted that temptation. He could have fallen into self-pity, but the Lord delivered him. And the Lord will deliver us all when we make time for his presence, because as we saw, it's his presence which defends us, not our own strength or knowledge. So that was what the Lord reminded me of.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
I was thinking, should I wait and see if people say what I want to say and just keep quiet? But anyway, I'll just follow on from our two brethren here. You know, we had a theme when we prayed the Friday before the church fast started. And it was from Isaiah 43:18. There was a scripture that came up. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. I'll stop there. And then, just earlier on in the prayers, and just this is what I'm just speaking on. In Psalm 103, God was speaking to me. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not. You know, the other scripture was saying, forget his benefits. So forget not, forget former things, but forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like eagles. And I'm sure many of us feel renewed. So the word is, being his child entitles us not to forget his benefits, in contrast to forgetting the former things. So, and it was saying, I need to teach me, to talk to me, I'm following on from Phil, to coach me, not to critique me, but to tell myself daily not to forget his benefits, because he'll renew your strength. He renews your strength. He heals you. He provides for you. He knows your name and much more. He'll never forsake nor leave you. So let's not danger, despair, or disappointment deter us from seeking Christ diligently and experiencing more of his benefits.
Good. When someone actually says something, if you've got something, think, wow, I'd like to follow on from that, almost as if it's an introduction into what God has been saying to you, then that's your time, grab it. So, Oyin has just talked about forgetting not his benefits. So I'm going to jump in now, because mine is a little bit about forget not his benefits. Okay? So if somebody else says something, watch out for those triggers. It's your turn to jump in. So for me, this time of fasting has given me a new understanding of the word command or commanding. I think it's an underused form of strength that as a church we need to understand and use more often. The word command, as we all know, it's sometimes, or the majority of times, it's associated with the military. A senior officer says to a soldier, do this, do that. It's an order. It has to be followed to the letter. There's no debate. There's no sitting around in a circle of chairs and discussing it. There's no consultation. There's no room for any alternative options. It's an instruction which is not to be questioned. And Jesus understood this. He met up with a Roman centurion when he was visiting Capernaum. And there are lots of different takes on the word command throughout the scriptures. But during this time of fasting, I've been really thinking and churning over and digging over just two aspects of commanding. First of all, commanding healings, and two, commanding God's blessing, not forsaking and all this thing, not forgetting all of his benefits. Time and time in Scripture, when we see that Jesus was healing people, he never ever prayed for them. That's interesting. I don't think he never prayed for people. Instead, he gave a verbal command to the sickness itself, to the person's body, or to the demonic spirit which was holding that and causing that sickness. And when Jesus sent his disciples out, he gave them power and authority to heal everywhere they went. And as God's children, we are given that same power to remove sickness from people's lives. Yes, the scripture does actually say that we can actually pray for the sick. You know, there's loads of scriptures about that, and we can't refute that. But in order to bring more breakthrough into people's lives, I think we need to start commanding healing in the name of Jesus more often. Then secondly, I've come to realise that we sometimes underestimate the blessing that is available to us from God in every aspect of our lives. And sometimes, being honest, for whatever reason, we are reluctant to ask for God's blessing in our lives. But guess what? There is nothing wrong in it. And it is God's heart to actually bless us. And when he does that, it allows us to give glory back to God. It allows us to say thank you to God. It allows us to come here on a Sunday morning and say, hey, guess what happened today? God intervened in my life. And it's a good encouragement to others. And there are loads of scriptures as well which talk about commanding blessing into people's lives, particularly linking them to obedience and unity, asking in faith. And there's this wonderful passage in Deuteronomy 28 which says, the Lord will command his blessing on you and in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand to. In other words, every part of your life. As Karen famously said one Sunday, God knows what is important to you. God is interested in everything that we do, and it is his heart to actually bless us. And so I say there's nothing wrong. I encourage us to just think about that a bit more and say, Father, will you command your blessing on my, who's taking their exams, on my driving lesson which is coming up, on my work, on my workplace, in my family. Father, will you do that? Because that's Father's heart. That's not, it's not, not being humble or anything like that. So that's, to me, just a couple of things which I was looking at and just digging over and digging a bit further into, and I'll continue to do that. So I think it's important to myself, and I think it is important to us as a church as well. Commanding blessing signifies God's decree for prosperity, success, and provision when we follow his will, act in unity, and pray faithfully. And if you want to dig into that a little bit more, look at Psalm 133 and also Matthew 7. So, thank you.
So this is Andy for the tape. Psalm 133 speaks about unity, doesn't it? So I'll take that entree and go. I'll go straight in. I've actually got two things to share, but I thought I'll share one and then I'll sit down and let people come in and then I'll come in again. It's a bit like one of those penalty shootouts, isn't it, where the same player takes another penalty later in the thing, and it's quicker. But one thing for nothing, actually, is that I've realised that if you want to remember what God said to you, you need to write it down. That's a general thing, and I've been doing that throughout this, and so I've remembered a lot. But anyway, so this particular thing was something that God revealed to me on the very last day of the fast. That was Friday. And I was in a revival prayer group meeting that I've just kind of set up amongst the churches to pray for revival in Thurrock. And God gave me this word, and it was based on the book of Nehemiah. And you remember, you know, Nehemiah led the Jews who were returning from exile in Babylon, and he encouraged them to come back to Jerusalem and to rebuild the city walls of Jerusalem. And these walls were, in fact, rebuilt after their destruction by the Babylonian armies, 70. And that had happened 70 years previously, but these walls were rebuilt in about 52 days. Incredibly quick time. And after that, the city was secure and the job was done. And the word that God gave me for us and the churches in Thurrock was this: there are many local churches in Thurrock, but only one bride. In Nehemiah's day, when they were building up the walls of Jerusalem, each family focused on rebuilding their local part of the wall, didn't they? But a city with only parts of the wall built up and parts still full of gaps, it's not defensible. The entire city wall needed to be fully rebuilt. Nehemiah had a plan that when the trumpet sounded, all the workers, wherever they were working around the city, would come together at that one place, and they would work together and support one another at that time. So you had that sense of unity, working together. Today, the Lord wants to unite us to rebuild the walls of the city of Thurrock, listening to the voice of the Spirit, the trumpet, and assembling wherever and whenever he calls us. Each church must help the other to rebuild their wall, coming to their assistance. Only when all of the wall of Thurrock is built will the glory of the Lord come down to fill it. So we and other churches must work together, we must collaborate, and our unity will get the job done so much more quickly. That was essentially the word, and obviously unity was one of the four rooks that John had in his dream as well. And pretty much very soon, about 5 minutes after I spoke this word into the group, this other church leader came in. So he hadn't heard anything I'd said. And he basically goes, you know, I've got this word about Nehemiah and things like that. I said, well, say it then. And he pretty much gave identically the same word. And that is such a blessing, isn't it? He did not hear me. He didn't read anything I wrote. He came in. He said the same thing. And the scripture says, a matter is established by the testimony of two or three witnesses, independent witnesses. They're not copying each other. It's independent. So I really feel that God is reinforcing this. As we work together in unity amongst the churches, helping to rebuild each other's bits of the wall, and in a way, the lowest part of the wall, the lowest gap, is the bit that's the most vulnerable, isn't it? Let's do it together, and when the city is built, the glory of God will come to Thurrock. Yes. Got something else to share, but I'll wait.
When someone says something that's in line with what God has told you, you jump up and... Yeah, so it's about unity, the one of the pillars that John talked about. So the gaps in between those walls, it's what God is addressing here. So it came like something that happened before. I'm going to share the story now briefly. It's what God laid in my heart. And it's a time when we were doing a crusade, when I was still in university. We save up our pocket money to go do rural evangelism in villages. So we're going to do a crusade in a village, and we partnered with a church, and we come every night to come and pray in that church. One of the nights, as we gathered to pray, it was like the air in that place was frozen. We couldn't breathe. It was so thick. And apparently, I just called aside. I said, "Brethren, what's going on? I don't know why we can't flow in the Spirit and all that." And when we started praying, one of them now said something. He said, "I got something to confess to you. We actually have been talking about you, because during that crusade, I invited someone to come join us in the crusade, and they didn't like it. But they didn't tell me. I've already decided it with one of the leaders. But the brethren didn't tell me, rather, they decided to talk within each other. And, you know, we're saying Sonny did this and all that." So that night, after that, I now said, "But why? You should have told me instead of talking behind me and all that." And we came together and we reconciled, and I apologized. I said, "Oh, no need, you don't need to apologize and all that. I rather should apologize to you, because we should have told you instead of going behind you to go and talk." So that's the word. We need to crush the spirit of gossip, because it's also one of the things that creates those walls. And if we're not in unity in the spirit, we can be in unity physically, working together and all that, but in the spirit, we are not in unity, because there are things that I have in my mind about you that I don't want to share, and I keep it in my mind and all that. We need to catch it and crush it and kill it. Then we can speak with one voice. We can fight as one man against anything that the devil will bring against us. Praise God.
I said I'd share. And again, this is part of my story during the fast. And it's a word that I received from, I've mentioned him before, a guy called Paul Fenwick. Really great guy, great prophetic guy who lives up in Newcastle area near to Mark Birch Machin. In fact, Mark and he meet every Tuesday and they share heart and things. So during January, which was during the fast, he sent me this word, which I'm claiming not just for me, but for us as a church, okay? So it's on here, and I'm just going to play. It's an audio track. It's about a minute and a half. So listen in, and hopefully you'll hear it.
Morning, Andy. On the 1st of January this year, I got a download from the Holy Spirit, which I've been talking about to my lot, and I'm getting it printed out and sent out. But I got the nudge this morning to send it to you, so I'm going to read it out to you, and look at it and get it checked out, and if it's relevant, keep it, and if not, well, just put in the bin, okay? So, be ready to walk off your map into new and unfamiliar territory. Your faith has secured this for you, so prepare to go where you've never been before. I'm equipping you with a new spiritual language, a new prayer language to deal with the challenges ahead. This is a new season with a new assignment. Stay open and adaptable, for this opportunity is opening up abruptly. I am providing you with the resources and skills for this new path. This new download from me will bring forth the full harvest in your life. Embrace this new process, as the end result is great joy and fulfillment. You are stepping into a landscape beyond what you know or have experienced. Trust my plans and I will lead you to victory. So I got that 1st of January 2026 and I just got the nudge to pass it on to you. So once again, have a listen to it. If it's relevant, keep it. If not, well, just get rid of it. Okay? Have a great day. Ta-ra.
I love his accent. I just love it. Thank you. Thank you, Paul. So just a couple of things about that. One is he received the prophecy from God on the 1st of January, okay? But it wasn't released to me before I started the 21-day fast. So the fasting bit helped release prophecy from God to us. So that's one lesson I learned. And the second thing is, as leaders, I don't know if you realize, but every time we have a leaders meeting, we spend the first half an hour, perhaps three quarters of an hour, just waiting on God. What are you saying, Holy Spirit? So God gets the first word. And God said to us pretty much exactly that, about going off the map, going off grid, going where you haven't got a map, you have to use the heavenly sat-nav. So when Paul said that, again, that's a massive confirmation of everything that God has already said to us as leaders, as in our church. So thank you, Jesus, and we will follow faithfully. Paul Gascoigne was a prophet, but there you go. It's great. Things to people 450 miles away, which are spot on to what's happening down here. That's good. Yeah, that's good. Great. Okay. Is there anybody here who this time of partial fasting was their first time of fasting? Anybody else? Moi. Yep, you? Anybody else doing this for the first time? All right, I was just going to ask if there was as to how you actually found it. But is there anything else that anybody would like to say? Or add in? Okay. I'm not going to twist anybody's arm at all. Hello, Judith.
God's kicked me to do this. Right, because this is not in the thread. Okay, so I have heard nothing special from God in this time. And so he told me to bring this word for those for whom that is also true. And a day after day has gone by and I'm like, I want something to say, Lord. I want something to feedback. What? Zip. And I don't mean I've had a bad time. On the contrary, a lot of the things we're routinely involved in have gone well and have been a blessing and we've got words in them. But I really haven't felt anything special about this time. And I've said to God, why is that? And he's said various things. Like, well, maybe we've had a conversation. I've said, is it to keep me humble? Because I've often got a lot to say. Clearly, he didn't want me to say much today. You know, is it just to keep me humble? What is it about, God? But what I came out the end of it with was, it really doesn't matter because I've been obedient. That's what matters. It's not whether you get bells and whistles. It's being obedient. And I think, yeah. So that's what I leave with those of you who maybe are sitting there thinking, well, I didn't get anything special. God is sovereign. He does what he will do. And who knows what will come. This is a marathon, not a sprint. Who knows what will come out of this in the future.
So this isn't the last of the fasting. It's not like, oh, phew, that's done for another year. Because the scripture says, when you fast, doesn't it? Jesus said, when you fast. So there's this understanding of God that, all right, we may not do it all the time as a church, but individually, we should have times of fasting within our regular thing. The Pharisees fasted twice a week, even. Full fast, 2 days a week. Not saying we should do that, but in other words, we need to build it into our Christian walk that regularly we go, oh, I'll fast tomorrow, or I'll fast every Tuesday or whatever, some kind of regularity there. Because it's not something that we've done it, we'll put it back in the box and that's it. I think God wants us to go up a level now. Amen.
Yeah, absolutely. On Boxing Day, one of my back in police days, he actually sent me a cartoon, and the cartoon was a couple there, and the caption was, this was on Boxing Day, he sent it to me, only 364 days to go before Christmas. And and then you walked into Iceland and they've got all their Easter eggs already. And then you go into Marks and Spencer's with Glendale just trudging along behind, and they're all the Valentine's Day stuff and all the rest of it. Christmas is finished, okay? And now we're thinking, right, I'm going on holiday next Sunday. Am I going to get back and get Glenda a card and the flowers? Yes, I've got enough time for that. Valentine's Day. And then after that, it's, it's Easter. So we got, what do the grandchildren want, you know, for Easter eggs and all the rest of it? Because Valentine's Day is finished and all the rest of it. As Andy said, God is not finished. This is not a season which has come to an end. We have learned a lot. I have learned a lot through this. It might not be blockbuster stuff. God works in the blockbuster, but he also works in the small things as well. And he has as much impact in the small things as he does in the big things as well. So, yeah, keep digging. Keep digging into this time. And as, just repeat what Andy says, you know, just say, well, God, this is, you know, that was quite a big chunk, 21 days of partial fast, but, you know, look at one day a week. Look at every now and again, right, you know, in 2 or 3 weeks' time, I want to do this again. Because God is absolutely head over heels with us. He's seeing what has happened. And he's pleased with Judith. He's pleased with Tasha. He's pleased with Phil. He's pleased with Anita. Guess what? He's pleased with all of us here. He is well pleased. He is well pleased. And he's saying, you know, through this, I want to strengthen our relationship. And I want to reveal more. I want to reveal more of me, my love, my understanding. And I want to strengthen my relationship with you. So, don't just say, right, that's it, what's the next thing, John? You know, let's just carry that on. This is if those people who remember University Challenge, they always had a question, and it was a starter for 10, which means they had a question, and if you got that one right, then you were allowed 3 more questions, where you got more points and all the rest of it. And it's a bit like that. God has given us a starter. And now there's more. There's more to explore. There's more for God wants to reveal in our life. Okay.